Heavenly Father, I thank you for Dan. I thank you for the elders in this church that you've entrusted us with, that can teach, that can edify the church, that can correct us, that can help us to grow closer to you. God, I ask that you would give him words to speak this morning, that he would have an anointing on him this morning that would allow him to share you well. God, I ask for all of us that this message would fall on fertile soil, that we would be able to receive what you would have to share with us this morning well, that we would go into the world changed by your word. We thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Well, like you said, I do not take this lightly, being up here in front of you. This is a very honored position to be in, and I appreciate the pastor and that he has the trust in me for me to do this. And he's right, I am a storyteller, so I'm going to start off this morning with a fresh story that happened to me. I was on my knees this morning, right off the bat, and you might think, oh, was you in prayer? No, I was resetting a breaker in our RV because Jennifer was trying to make a coffee, and we had a heater running because it was pretty chilly this morning, as you know. So she said, oh, I tripped the breaker. Well, our breaker on our RV is down on the floor, and you have to get down there to reset the main breaker. So I get down there right up. I mean, I'm, you know, fresh out of bed. So get down there on the floor. Well, our dog thinks I want to play. So she runs underneath my arm. She's a little corgi beagle mix. She runs underneath my arm and headbutts my glasses up into my nose. And so I'm, you know, I hand Jennifer my glasses, and I'm rubbing my nose, and she's getting the dog away from me. And so then I'm resetting the breaker. I get the breaker reset. She's getting her hair dryer out of the cabinet, which is just right around the corner from where I'm at. And you know those big square plugs on the end of a hair dryer? They're a reset. That comes swinging down just in time for me to look up and catch it between the eyes. So now I've got two head injuries in less than 5 minutes. And she's laughing at this point. I'm sure she's concerned about me. But she laughed instead. So that was my a fresh story for you this morning. But the main stories I want to talk about today is about Jesus and what he's done for us. And it is a simple message. It's just a refresher message, a message of salvation. And I call this the gift. And boys, if you want to, Aaron and Braden, if you want to get a plate, I've got something for you this morning as a gift. I have made these literally now for years, probably hundreds, thousands of them. It's a recipe that I developed out of many, many trial and error. And we never threw any of it away. They're caramels. But if you overcook it, it becomes too brittle. If you undercook it, it's syrup. So we always used it in our coffee drinks at the coffee house. Or she would break it up if it cooked it too long, and she'd put it in brownies or cake or whatever. So this is a gift for you this morning. You only get one, only one. And I'm going to, and I'll tell you that story. That's another story. But anyway, this is a gift, and as you receive this gift, I wrote down the gift is a thing or something willingly given by someone without payment, something you didn't work for. It's free, no strings attached. You know, and the caramel is kind of like the salvation. If you just give me that broad range of bringing that back around to salvation, it's something that you didn't work for, something that is free, but something that someone else worked for to pay the price. They need some in the back. They're waving. I mean, they're kind of time consuming to make. There's a process, there's ingredients that go into it. Then after all that's done, you let them set for a day. Then we have to cut them, and they're all hand-wrapped. And so, and Mark helped me wrap these yesterday, by the way. And it's a process. Our salvation is a process. What Jesus did for us on the cross, there were several things that went into that process for that free gift that cost him everything. And what do we do with the gift? Some of us have got gifts before that we might thank someone for, but we put it on the shelf, we put it in a drawer, we put it in our pocket, you might say, well, I don't even, like caramels, or and we do different things with different gifts. And it's up to you what you do with the gift of salvation. Jesus has offered that freely to us, but it was at a great cost. So salvation is free, but not cheap. It cost Jesus everything to give us this free gift. If you get something for free, so many times we're skeptical of that. Anybody else that, buy one, get one free, or there's always some kind of free deal. And it's one of those things where it almost, I think salvation is so simplified that some people think that there's got to be more to it than that. There's got to be more than to salvation than me just asking Jesus into my heart, and he's going to forgive my sins, and I'm going to go to heaven someday, and I'm going to live a life, of freedom in Christ. We think that's too simple, because I think it's, as the older we get indoctrinated into these free deals that aren't turned out to be free, and I'm going to try to stick to my notes and move on. Free, without cost or without payment. Buy one, get one free. Even insurance deals that you pay for, and then you file a claim and you think that everything's covered until it's not. I remember when I was working, I bought a policy called Aflac, and this duck lied to me. Because I had carpal tunnel surgery done on my right hand, and as I was off work, this Aflac duck was supposed to give me a check every week for being off work. Filed the claim. The lady that sold the policy said, "Oh yeah, that's covered. Everything's covered." Well, the company denied it, and so we started fighting with the company back and forth, calling, and she said, well, I'm going to, check into it. Well, because it was a work-related injury, because of repetition through work, they wouldn't pay it. There was a clause in there that if it was under workman's comp, and it's not covered. So that causes us to be skeptical of different things that sounds too good to be true. I've got another little story for you that's just hilarious. To me, I could hardly contain myself. We were in Myrtle Beach for the month of January. I got to go get my, be right back. Okay. We were in Myrtle Beach for the month of January. I get to smack people with this. And it was cold. It was about as cold there as it is here. And I saw this hack on YouTube where if you insulate your water lines to your RV with a pool noodle, you slice these open, put them over your hose, and it keeps your hose from freezing. So I thought, well, let's do that. So we started on a quest to find pool noodles in January. No, Dollar Tree did not have them. Dollar General did not have them. So we were just about to give up. And so we went to the campground we were staying at is about 20 minutes or 20 miles from the actual Myrtle Beach area with the boardwalk and all that and shops. And we're going down the road, and there's this stuff store. Everything under $5, t-shirts and all this stuff. And on their billboard out front, it says, pool noodle, 75 cents. we pull in, and because you can't, you know, even at Dollar Tree, it would have been $1.25 or and more at Dollar General. So I'm thinking, hey, this is a deal. Pool noodle, 75 cents, and I only needed three. So I pull in, and this lady pulls in beside me. And I hold the door open for her, and she goes in. Right there, lo and behold, in the entryway, is boxes of these pool noodles. And she goes over, and she starts pulling out all these pool noodles. And she's got like 10 or 12 of them. 10, I think, wouldn't it? And she said, oh, I'm getting a bunch of these. This is a good deal for a craft project, whatever she was doing with them. And I said, well, I only need three, so you go ahead and pick yours out. So she got this armload of pool noodles, and she's going up to the counter. And she gets up to the counter, and there's the Indian gentleman there, not American Indian, but Indian. And he's the owner, and she puts her pool noodles up there, and he said, pool noodle, 75 cents. The rest, 150. And she said, excuse me? She said, your sign says 75 cents. And he goes, only one. And she said, what do you mean only one? Only one, the rest, $1.50. She said, well, that's false advertising. Oh, no, read sign. Read the sign, pool noodle, 75 cents. Only one. And I'm back there, I'm in line behind her, and I am starting to lose it. This is, you know, you can't pay for a show like this. I mean, they start arguing. They just keep going back and forth. She said, well, I want 10 of these. And she said, I'm only going to pay 75 cents a piece for them because that's what your sign says. And he goes, same, oh no, only one, read sign, pool noodle. Only one. And I mean, it's hilarious. And so finally she says, well, if I wasn't here already and needed these that I've got, I wouldn't buy them. But I'm going to buy them since I'm here and get them. But she said, that's false advertising. And every time she would say that, he would go right back. Oh, no, read sign. Only one. So the pool noodle story is... We think that that's the way the gospel is. You only get one chance. You know, there's got to be a catch to this. You know, there's got to be some kind of underlying deal because the gospel's too simple. Well, it's not. Ephesians 2:8. Can I have that? Oh, you got. Hey, you get another caramel for that. Let's read that. Salvation is a gift from God. You can't work for it. Jesus paid that price. It's through faith. It's not from yourself. You know, so many times I think we think we have to work for it. We have to be a good person. And that's good. You should be a good person. But sometimes good people don't think they need to be saved. They don't think they need the gospel. They don't think they need that sacrifice that Jesus did for him, because hey, I'm a good person. Well, you can't be good enough for salvation. Let's move on. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's another gift. You know, it's interesting. You have to work to go to hell. You have to work to die. But the gift of life is free. Isn't that interesting? Well, it is to me. Go ahead. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That just reinforces the fact that we all need a Savior. There's nothing that we can do on our own that's going to sanctify us enough. You can't be good enough. The nicest person needs salvation. Romans 10:9-10. So how do we do this? It's very important that we realize our sin. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, how simple is that? Here again, sometimes I think we think that the gospel is so simple that it's too good to be true. Let's read John 3:16. Can we say that together? That's all right. Only begotten Son, that whosoever but have everlasting life. Yeah, we did it all together. It was really close. It was really close. A gift that you receive for free, you can accept it, you can use it, you can love it, you can love the one who gave it, or you can put it on the shelf, a drawer, a closet, never use it. It's up to you what you do with this gift. Salvation is a free gift that we all need to receive. With God, Jesus took all of our sin when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. Everyone can receive this gift, no matter what. How about you today? Maybe you've been in a place where you've received this gift before, but you've walked away. You know you're not living right. I talked to Pastor Adam this morning before this message, and you know, there's some people, some organizations that believe once saved, always saved. And that means that if you got saved when you were 5 or 6 years old and you lived your life however you want to live, well, I'm still saved. Well, I'm not going to go into all of the theology of that because I know there's some there, but I'm not smart enough or educated enough to know what that is. I'm just a simple man. And to me, that's like I was working on a riverboat cruise up and down the Mississippi a couple of years ago, and I did that for 2 summers. And I had this training that you had to go through to be part of that, and one of those training sessions was on water rescue. If someone fell overboard, how to rescue that person. And the guy that was training me said, I've done this for 30 years. He was Coast Guard certified, and he said, I've never had to rescue anybody off of this yet. The very next week, we had a class reunion party, 20-year class reunion, and it was a party. These people were partying, and we don't allow any alcohol on the boat, but they were at the yacht at the south side before they boarded this pontoon boat. And I was the deckhand on this, keeping track of everybody, and the captain was driving. And we get out into the middle of the channel, and one of these guys that was partying pretty hard decides that it's a good idea to jump off the boat. And the doors on this swing in and not out, so it's you can't lean against one and fall out. So he actually had to open the door and jump out into the river, into the channel. And these people, there's music going on, and all of a sudden I hear somebody saying, man overboard, man. And I'm thinking, you know, they're joking. And I look around. Sure enough, we're already a block away from this guy because he's going downriver and in the middle of the channel. So I told the captain, and of course he turned it around, and this guy has no life jacket on, nothing. He's in the channel, and he's drunk, and he's going under. And we get to him, and he had a come to Jesus moment, I'm sure. I think as soon as he stepped off that boat, I think he knew that he did the wrong thing. So I got out on the bow of this boat and forgot most of the training that I had, because you're supposed to throw a life ring, you're supposed to be tethered and all that stuff. And I didn't do any of that. I just walked out onto the platform and grabbed him by the arm and drug him up onto the bow of the boat. And the captain was like, he looked at me like, you're stronger than you look. So, but it was adrenaline, you know, it was just in the moment. And I got him out of the channel, and this guy was, you know, he was okay, but of course, you know, really, really upset, and everybody else on the boat was given him what for, because they had pretty much ruined the cruise and we had to turn around and go back. And, you know, I'm almost sure, as a matter of fact, I heard stories after that, that this guy was a class clown, and I don't know anything about that. He had done things like this before in high school, and so they knew that he was that type of guy. So, you know, I could have said, you know what, this guy has probably done stuff like this before. He's probably been saved before. You know what, let's let him drown. What do you think? So is that once saved, always saved? I know that's a stretch, but that to me is, you know, we need to go back, and if we need to rededicate our life every other Sunday to make sure that we are in right relationship with God, the Father, then that's what we need to do. We make stupid mistakes in this life. We walk away from what we know is truth. And sometimes we just need to have a come to Jesus moment and say, you know, I jumped off in this boat that I was perfectly safe in, and now I'm drifting away from where I know I need to be. Amen. All right. Main reason for salvation. It's free. It frees us from our sin. It restores us and establishes that relationship with God. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap for Jesus or us. It's not living in the world, but we got to live for Jesus. What will you do with this gift? Will you accept it today, even if it costs you something? You know, this is just a short, simple message today, but I want to challenge you on where you're at in this walk. So I've said all this to get to this. You know, everything we do here at Four Square, all of the outreaches, all of the dinners, all of the fellowship, all of the preaching, all of the teaching, all of the singing, all of the worship, you know what? None of that matters without salvation. None of that matters if we're not reaching the lost. None of that matters if we don't know where we're going to spend our eternity. So where are you today? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? Maybe you never have. Maybe it's because you're a good person and you just never really thought about it or never really realized that, hey, I'm not really saved. I don't really know where I would go if I would die today. Am I saved? If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, then no, you're not. Maybe you have, and you've walked away, or you're just not living right today. We all need to be rescued again. We all need to be saved. So I'm going to ask you, if you just stand with me this morning, this is a short message. I just want you to stand with me, and no one looking around, every head bowed. We're going to go old school here, just the pastor and I. I'm going to pray for you this morning, and I'm going to ask you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to do this the old-fashioned way. Do you know Jesus today? Would you invite him into your heart? Would you say, Dan, that's me, just by the uplifted hand? Just lift your hand up if you need prayer this morning and say, you know what? That's me. Yes, I see that hand. I see that. I see that. Let's pray this morning. Pray this just simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to redeem me. Maybe once, or maybe the second time, or the third time. But Lord, I need you in my life today. I need to know that I'm saved. Lord, I ask you for your forgiveness. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that you are my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. If you said that prayer and you need more prayer this morning, I want you to meet with the pastor or meet with me, and we'll go over that and give you some scriptures to read and some encouraging words, whatever you need this morning. But it was very, very, very important. And maybe you wasn't bold enough to lift your hand, but you know, you got that feeling in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit. When you've been prompted in your heart to know that, hey, that's me he's talking about. I walked away from what I knew was right. I need Jesus. If you felt that this morning and you didn't raise your hand, still come and talk to Pastor, talk to me, and I'd just love to pray with you. None of us is perfect. None of us is redeemed without the Holy Spirit and without the Father and without that pulling of the Holy Spirit on our life. We all came into this world the same way, and we're all going to go out the same way, but let's go out with Jesus. Amen? Let's know where our future is. Let's know where we're going. Pastor.
Thank you, Dan. Be seated for just a moment. We'll go through some things. Dan shared with us a message about salvation, very simple, which sometimes we get away from. I don't often do that, just from the perspective of, you know, most of the people in our church have been believers for a long time. Most of the people in our church have known Jesus for a while. Some of you, many of you, longer than I've been alive. That's okay. It's good to be reminded of simple beginnings. It's good to be reminded of the simplicity of the gospel. A gift is a thing that is free to us. Salvation is that gift. But it's given from the efforts and the labors of someone else. He talked about how it's free, but it's not cheap. It's not cheap to our Lord. It wasn't cheap to Jesus as he died on the cross. That was his plan, though, for you and I. Free causes skepticism. That pool noodle was supposed to be 75 cents. Every pool noodle should have been 75 cents. He didn't put the limit one on the sign. But our Lord is not that way. He said, salvation is a gift that I freely give, and it's a gift that I freely give. And when God says something is so, it is so. Salvation is a gift that was given freely to me and freely to you. There are no catches. There is no work involved for me. Praise God for that. He does want me later to come closer to him, to be more like him, to grow in that. But that's not part of salvation. And we don't only get the one chance. Just because you heard this message 40 years ago and you didn't take it then, or you did take it then and you ignored it for 35 years or whatever it is. I was talking to Dan this morning and he said, yeah, I probably got saved when I was 14, 15 years old. And I said, and your trouble didn't start until after that. And that's probably true for most of us who came to know Jesus as children. Because at 11, I wasn't capable of the sin that I was capable of at 17, 18, 25. I didn't really start falling away from Jesus until after I knowed him for a while. That's the crazy part. And that's true for all of us. We all need a Savior. We're all drowning in the world without one. We're all in the channel because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Some of those scriptures come from the what we call the Roman road, where you can lead someone to salvation through just passages in the book of Romans. Some of those we have memorized, for all have fallen short of the glory of God, is one of those for me. It's one that I have to remind myself on a regular basis. Hey, it's all of us, and we've fallen short. But salvation is a gift. You, like Dan said, you have to work to go to hell. That's based on your efforts. Hell is based on your effort. Good job. Your wages are death. But if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. We need a Savior. and he gives salvation freely. So what do we do with that gift? Does anybody have a second toaster that they put away somewhere because they got two of them at their wedding? Or they had one that they liked better, and so it's in a drawer or wherever. There are a lot of gifts I've been given over the years that I say, oh, this is really nice to sit on that shelf over there until I'm ready for it. Let's not let the gift of salvation be like that. A lot of us, I thought it was really sweet when we were going through John 3:16, because those of us who have been believers for a while, we have that written on our heart already. We didn't need it on the screen, and having it on the screen caused confusion because everybody in the room's got it in a different version that they growed up with. Most of us have got it in King James Version, right? Because that's what we know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What does begotten mean? Any of these children use the word begotten in a regular sentence? No. But it's written on our hearts. It's something that we should cherish. Our salvation is something that we should cherish. And that's a wonderful reminder this morning. If you don't know the Lord and you prayed that prayer for the first time today, I want to start walking with you in a path of discipleship. I want to help you to come to know Jesus the way that I do, because the way that I know Jesus is very intimate. It's very close. I hope that it's closer every day. I work towards that. We work towards that as a church. And that initial meeting that you may have just had with the Lord is only the beginning. So I want to pray with you. I want to share Jesus with you. I want to walk through some discipleship with you. I want to teach you what I know and propel you into a new life with him, because it can be really, really incredible. We sang that God is good. Those of us who have been walking with him for a while know that to be true, even in the chaos. So if that was you this morning, please reach out. I will gladly walk with you through some discipleship. Dan would also do that. There's a lot of elders in our church that would love to share Jesus with you in a way that is edifying to you. Let's pray, and then we'll close the service. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the things that it teaches us. I thank you for the gift that was freely given, that is your son on the cross. God, my sin has earned me nothing but death. But you have freely given me eternal life. You have freely given me more than eternal life. You've given me forgiveness of my sins so that I could be in right relationship with you. That my life today would be forever changed because I am in right relationship with the creator of the universe. Because of your efforts, not mine. Because of your gift, not something I've earned on my own. God, I thank you for that. God, I ask that you would walk with us, those of us that know you and love you, for the rest of our days. That you would draw us close to you. The psalmist wrote that surely goodness and mercy would follow us all of our days. God, I want that to be true for our lives, the people that are here today. God, I ask that you would bless each household that's represented here today with plenty and peace. And we thank you for that. We give you glory for everything that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious. I hope you have a wonderful week.